Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Horrocane Hour. I'm Sherry Kane.
And I'm Dr. Len Horowitz. Thanks for joining us.
We come to you every weekday, Monday through Friday. That's 12 noon in Hawaii, 2 p.m. Pacific time, and 5 p.m. on the East Coast. So thank you for coming and joining our program today. We have a special guest that's going to be joining us. His name is Steve Budge, and he is actually a really amazing truther out there, one of the few like us that is actually documenting the truth and not afraid to do that. So we're going to talk to him in a few minutes. I want to thank our sponsors, healthyworldaffiliates.com/4948 for your awesome products. If you are not an affiliate, please sign up today. You can partner with us, and you'll also be supporting this network late night in the Midlands, as well as the Horrocane Hour. You'll get discounts on products and can make commissions for recommending others. Also, thank you to healthyworldstore.com for your awesome products, keeping people healthy throughout the year. Check out the 528 section. Dr. Horowitz's latest book, the book of 528 Prosperity, Key of Love, is available on that site, and you can get more information on the book at thebookof528.com. Also, check out the 528 section that has the tuning forks and orgone generators. If you're not sure what an orgone generator is, you can check out 528 orgone, O-R-G-O-N-E, generators.com, and you'll get a total insight into what it is. It's amazing, and it's a great healing device as well that is therapeutic as well as artistic and beautiful. And we want to thank 528records.com. If you are a musician, we encourage you to upload your original tracks to the station, and it will automatically be transposed into the 528 frequency. You'll get your MP3 files back transposed, and your music will become part of the music library where you will get 60% royalties for anyone who donates for your music. And also check out 528radio.com, which has a number of great stations on there, and we really, really appreciate your donations and keeping that site going. That is really, really counting on your donations to expand the server size, get more stations. Check out our latest station, Monkey Man Radio, 528monkeymanradio.com. It has a really large selection of eclectic music, from punk rock to pop music to rock and roll to blues. Anyway, thank you for joining us today.
Yes, thank you, Sherry. Great introduction. Yeah, I'm excited to speak with our guest because very few people out there actually do their due diligence and are very articulate, and they're very meticulous with regard to documenting their findings. And Steve Budge has done an outstanding job, so it's really a privilege and an honor to have him join us. He doesn't do this very often. He's just told us, and that maybe he'll be doing it more often. And I would encourage that, because the world needs more truthers out there who professionals. Yeah, not people who just throw up a stupid website. I'm thinking labvirus.com. Freudian slip. That have all misspellings and false information on, besides the false spellings, and that is discrediting. And that is part of COINTELPRO's operation, to be discrediting. So really, it's an honor to have Steve Budge on with us today, who has done an outstanding job. And you've got to check out what he's done on his website.
Yes, exactly. His website is the-big-picture.org.uk. Welcome to the program, Steve.
Hi, Sherry. Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, you're very, very welcome, and we appreciate so much that you've actually written a really good review about both of us, which very, very few people are afraid to come forward and really expose a lot of these guys that started the conspiracy movement. People think that the government just infiltrated the conspiracy movement, but no, they actually created it from the start. So it's very, very exciting to have another person out there that isn't afraid to investigate and look at the truth and isn't seeking fame. So they're not afraid of exposing people who might be giving them a huge platform. They just go and they do their job, and it's all about integrity. So we thank you for that.
Yeah, well, you should know that it took me a while to get yourself and Len on there, because I fell for the Knights of Malta nonsense. And was confused for quite a long time. I think it was actually your direct attack on the COINTELPRO guys that got me sorted out.
Oh, that's great. You know, we're thankful for that. And really, we didn't even know. You know, every day new things come in, and we're kind of like, what you see is what you get. We're spontaneous. We go with the flow. And what happened at the conspiracy conference as a result of our investigations, man, and then ultimately resulting in the whole expose with Anthony Hilder coming forward, admitting that he and Gunderson created the conspiracy industry, if you will. All of that really has just been evolving. And I think folks like you, who not only appreciate it and are on top of it, keep watching and listening and learning, but actually then apply that knowledge to doing something beneficial for humanity in educating others. I mean, that's really what it's all about. And I think that's how we're going to win.
Exactly. It was like walking into the lion's den when we went to the conspiracy conference, literally, because you had Anthony Hilder there and you had Ted Gunderson usually there, but he wasn't there that the year he was supposed to be there, which was in 2011. And we just went in and we just told the truth. And they wanted to throw us out. They did everything possible. We had already arranged with the person running it, Brian Hall. We arranged with him that he would be a referee in the speaker debate, because he knew we were going to come down on these guys who had been attacking us for so long. And he agreed to it. And when push came to shove, he got talked out of it by Anthony Hilder's boys, and he was ready to tell us to just leave. And we said,
yeah, he did tell us to leave. We protested and basically said to him, we're not going to leave. You know, you invited us here. You committed to doing a referee debate. Well, we're here to do it, and we want to get on with it. So we just really, we resisted what they had intended.
Exactly. And I think that his claim was that they were really, really offended that we got up and explained that I got a call from Timothy Patrick White, who was a Gunderson messenger boy, a predicate felon, who was a really, really bad character. And he had called me on my cell phone out of the blue. I didn't know him, and started making threats like I better shut up, or he's going to do this. It was extortion. It was weird. And I said to him, you know, and he said, aren't you a whore? You're a whore. And I said, if anybody supports you, Timothy Patrick White, because you like to dress like a whore, because I had the inside information that he was a cross-dresser. And his mouth must have dropped. And then on top of it, he's a white supremacist. So I said, and that must mean that you like, you know, big black dildos up your horse. He was like, It was silence. The guy tried to threaten me, and there was silence on the other end of the phone from this terrorist, right? And his buddies must have been listening, like his, you know, government buddies, and then the phone just went silent. They all hung up.
That's it. He never called back again.
And it was like the people there, they didn't want to get that story. I'm like, do you know how many people are afraid of this guy? And I stood up to him. And not only did I stood up to him, but I mocked him and insulted him so bad that he couldn't even stand the heat. It was great. So we think it's funny.
Yeah. So, Steve, tell us what got you started in this. I mean, there must have been more than, you know, my material, I think, isn't it?
Well, If I really look at it, I was softened up over a number of years. In 2003, I was working in the Middle East, and I actually had survey crews working in the Persian Gulf and in the northern Persian Gulf. So we were, as a management team, looking at the safety of our people during the build-up to the Iraq War. And at that point, you know, I believed that, you know, maybe countries... I knew that there were resources at stake, but I thought, well, maybe countries are better off under democracy, and probably okay. So in 2003, I think I was sound asleep. And what started to soften me up was David Barsamian's Alternative Radio, which was in 2006, we'd moved back to the States. And Barsamian's radio show was playing on KUOW in Seattle. And I heard John Perkins give his economic hitman speech. And then there were other speakers. Raj Patel would do Stuffed and Starved. And so you start to, you know, the bigger questions are being raised. And clearly things are not going as they ought. And so that put a lot of question marks in my mind. And in Seattle around 2000, late 2009, early 2010, you know, you'll see people protesting the wars, but you'll also see people with a little 9/11 truth sign in addition. And that was, so when I saw my first Building 7 video, that, you know, that's it, the floodgates opened. And, you know, so I found out what the internet was for.
Yeah, it's both a blessing and a curse. It's a curse in regard to one of our co-litigants. We're actually suing Google right now as a co-defendant, third-party co-defendant in libel and a conspiracy of COINTELPRO to discredit us. And that, you know, Google is so integrated now with what's called the Google Futures Project, Google Futures with the CIA and their investment arm in QTEL. That's where your mouse clicks and is recorded, and you start to get pop-ups, and they're specifically targeting you and how you think and how you feel and what you want to do. Well, supposedly the internet is going to be providing that direction for intelligence agencies, and, you know, we're concerned about that.
And Google's just doing, I mean, they hired like really, really fancy big time lawyers to actually defend keeping up libel about Len and I. We're having a private argument on the phone and they want to keep it on a blog site. And we're like, well, why do you want to do that? It's not your business. Well, you know, they don't have an answer for that, but they'll hire all their attorneys to just keep on defending it rather than like taking it down and make to let us go away. You know, it's just really weird.
Yeah, so they're going to start to, as you get a larger profile, you'll see that the COINTELPRO is going to start either making stuff up about you, like they did with me in the Knights of Malta thing, or they'll try to integrate and infiltrate your family or businesses,
right. Or
and try to discredit you that way.
Or there'll be somebody who will befriend you where you live somewhere that you don't even know they're coming, and next thing you know, they're watching you, they're filming you, you think they're your friend, and they'll stab you, and they'll just sell you out to those guys. So, I mean, they have arms all over the place. It's unbelievable what these people can do and how relentless they are. They don't really care about the well-being of anybody. All they care about is to keep all the tension, the dissidence, the hate going. That's their whole agenda. If they have peace, then there's no war. And if they can't keep the peace out of the activist movements and keep it out of the grassroots movements, then they can really be successful on a larger scale as well, because it all starts in the grassroots. And so that's what we've been battling, and we're alone. You know, Len and I, alone.
I think not
pretty
much. So much anymore.
We have a few people.
Barbara Hartwell was really alone.
Yeah, Barbara Hartwell was more alone than us. She had, you know, she didn't have Len. I have Len at least as a partner in my life, a great partner.
And we have now, you know, a half a dozen journalists and talk show hosts that are now have. What's really happening. And I think it's an important point to make that there are tens of thousands of CIA covert operators that actually are hackers. They're engaged in counterintelligence and propaganda and media, the alternative media, as well as mainstream media. It's all infiltrated. And they're actually doing it on taxpayer money, partly, and drug money, mostly. And also the sex trade, all of those lucrative trades, the war, the military economies, like you're talking about, Sherry. This is what fuels and funds this whole counterintelligence program and propaganda campaign. Steve, what have you found with regard to this search that you started off with, now recognizing the economy, the economic manipulation, the 9/11 manipulations, and then maybe you ran into my stuff on vaccinations and AIDS. What else? What else prompted you then to take action?
Well, that's an interesting point, because when I found out about 9/11, I would mention it to people in Seattle where I was living at the time, and they weren't interested. But I didn't push it too hard. And I was fairly calm because I didn't know, I didn't know there was an ongoing attack through vaccinations and food and all the rest at that point. And even then, I mean, you can avoid, if you have the right knowledge, you can avoid the wrong foods, and you don't have to go get your flu shot. But I work in the marine survey industry. In fact, I've surveyed the slopes of Oahu there for at least one of your fiber optic internet cables. So I'm a marine surveyor, and I have done work for the oil industry and the telecoms industry on these cables. And although I was living in Seattle, my head office at the time of the Gulf spill was in Louisiana. And I started to see things come through on Facebook about the oil spill. And I thought, no, you know, that's just ridiculous. But of course, about the fifth time it comes through on your wall, you have a look. And I was just distraught that this amount of poison was being thrown into the environment. And I had friends. I had a friend on a survey ship working for BP on the disaster, and I contacted him, and he said that they had video footage of the oil coming directly out of the seabed, and that the BP guys were confiscating that footage immediately. Immediately it was taken. That's not usual offshore. The contractor will keep the data and report it, but in this case, the data was confiscated immediately. So the Gulf is horrendous, and it was definitely a deliberate cover-up, and I think it was deliberately perpetrated, and I don't really know what the motivation is. You know, ecocide for purposes of enforcing draconian environmental law, I don't know.
Well, let me give you the reason why it is. It's very well established from the report from Iron Mountain, which, when that leaked in 1967, it was a publication by the Dial Press by Leonard Lewin. That was said to be a satire and a false publication, but there's nothing funny about it. I mean, zero funny. And it is very scholarly, and it's very in-depth. And most recently, there have been parties that have come forward that were actually on the think tank itself. It was a think tank. The report from Iron Mountain, the Iron Mountain group, was put together by the leading globalists that had to answer the question, if we're going to evolve into a new world order where we have some semblance of peace on Earth, or we put away the weapons of mass destruction, nuclears, how will we maintain the economic alignment of the superpowers in the age of peace? And the very sophisticated and scholarly think tank pulled that question apart and came up with a list of recommendations which stated that they could continue to enable the wealthiest people and corporations on the planet to maintain their power and control and their wealth for their families if they simply created global threats that affected people everywhere. And among the global threats, they created the recommendation for the alien extraterrestrial cosmic menaces, for the Star Wars initiatives and the space-based weaponry and initiatives there. And of course, that took off with heavily in the Reagan era. And then they had also a recommendation for ongoing worsening global pollution. And so that's where the BP oil spill and what's called crisis capitalism comes into play. And if you look at the most recent environmental attitudes of the rich and famous and Wall Street, they actually are now calling our environment and our natural resources, quote, natural capital, end quote. So the natural capital includes all of God's blessings. Water is natural capital. Air is natural capital. All forestry, of course, the botanical world, is natural capital. So that's an answer to why it would be that they want to control the environment, poison the environment, intoxicate and pollute the environment, and we the people. It is extremely profitable. And like you see just now with the devastation, the tri-state area, you think that, that becomes a very lucrative and manageable, like smaller catastrophe, and it replaces effectively of nuclear destruction.
Have you ever been to Las Vegas?
Me? No, the last place in the world I ever wish to visit.
Okay, well, if you ever happen to go there, you'll see there's like inside sort of cities that have like, that look like New York City and all these, I mean, they have Paris, they have Venice. It's like you don't even have to leave to go to Europe when they have these inside cities. Of course, it's not the same, but it's look cartoonish and fake, and even put a fake sky above the inside. So when you look up, it looks like you're looking up at the sky, but it's a painting. And so I always envisioned that they were going to do something like that. If they can control our air and our water and all of our resources, then they can charge us for them. Because we can't go outside anymore, we'll have to be contained, kind of like that movie Total Recall, where you're contained in an inside city and you have to pay for air and water and whatever else, other so-called commodities that are now free, they're God's given free to us all, our resources, are taken away from us because they're contaminated. And therefore, we have to live in inside cities. So that was like something I thought that they could pull in the future.
Yes, they are quite mad, and they have no idea how to live.
Nope.
Yeah,
don't.
Yeah. The madness is the key issue. We've tried to analyze it every which way possible. It's a psychopathology, psychosocial pathology, where they indoctrinate the culture. The American culture was actually formed, if you go back in history, back in the early 1950s after World War II, when Eisenhower was president, America was going to be drifting aimlessly. We had to spur the economy, and that the Rockefellers, the banking community, of course, the Rockefeller family particularly, were extremely interested in how they were going to basically do this whole psychosocial pathology manipulation of the population. And they came out with a contest. It was actually a contest to decide what the national purpose of America would be. And as a result of it, you know, they had Time magazine, the Luce family, a big propagandist for the Rockefeller banking industry, had been promoting this. Eisenhower was forced to be involved. He didn't want to be involved in the whole thing because he was very concerned about, if you remember his State of the Union address at the end, he was very upset about the multinational corporations taking over the United States. And so he didn't want to be part of it. But the Rockefellers created the contest result that they would, and this is a virtual quote, that they would mix guns and butter and the new technologies for weaponry, for freedom in a free world. That was, in essence, what the American national purpose was and how it came about. And everything now begins to fall, of course, underneath that. You've got commercialization, you know, the butter aspects of how we're going to commercialize the military weapons and the whole industry and keep everything going economically through the war mentality. That you can thank the Rockefeller family for primarily.
I know that you did a lot of research into looking into the Holly Grieg fraud. And can you tell us a little bit about that research that came
from? Yeah. Well, I didn't do any research. I read the website. So there's a group here in the UK who were all originally part of this Holly Grieg case. And it's it's an alleged paedophile ring in Scotland that abused a Down syndrome girl. And this was carried, this story was pushed very hard by David Icke and also by Brian Gerrish, who runs an organization called UK Column in the UK. It's probably one of the largest alternative news sources in the UK. And there's also a lady called Belinda McKenzie involved, who at one point was headed up the 9/11 truth movement in London. So,
and Anthony Hilder, right?
Well, he supports Brian Garrish very closely. So
that's interesting.
And so that now you start to see an international COINTELPRO grouping.
Yep.
So the people involved who've put this website together, the Holly Gregg Hoax website, were all originally believed the story, but one of the members was very close to the action and was at that court cases in Scotland, and other members were researching on the internet, and the story turned out to be full of holes and entirely fabricated, and it looks like I think we were talking maybe before we began on air about how COINTEL operations will surround somebody and manipulate them, and there was a guy called Bill Maloney in the UK who did a short documentary about child abuse at an institution in the Channel Islands in Jersey, I think. Yes, it was Jersey, which is just north of the French coast. It's a British protectorate. And anyway, there was a lot of high establishment figures using the children there for sexual gratification. And Bill Maloney made a film about this, and the film was called Sun, Sex and Satan. And about 18 months maybe after Bill came out with that and was starting to lead some kind of opposition against institutional child abuse in the UK, he was surrounded by Mr. Icke, Mr. Gerrish, and Ms. McKenzie. And this Holly Gregg paedophile case was heavily published in the alternative media, and the mainstream media wouldn't touch it. And you know, as you well know, when you're looking at through everything on the internet, there's a vast amount of material, and just the fact that it's being pushed by the alternative media and avoided completely by the mainstream gives it enormous credibility in the eyes of most people who are savvy to the hidden control agenda.
Yeah.
And so essentially you're looking at a fabricated paedophile case to take away attention from a known paedophile, Ringham Dunblane, in Scotland, which was subject to a government inquiry, and those records, I think, were sealed from, if memory serves, 100 years those records were sealed, and then the case in the Channel Islands as well, and also there was a children's home in Wales where establishment figures were abusing children in the UK. So what those guys have done in exposing a COINTELPRO fabricated story is they've enabled characters like me to take that website and ask specific questions of people in the UK truth movement. It's a UK story, so we tend to concentrate there. And what we're finding is that leading figures in the UK truth movement, who even those who had nothing to do with the case and were not originally supporting it, will not come out and condemn those people who are leading it. It's like taking a cross around a room of vampires. They just shrink away from it. And so it's being used as a tool at the moment to identify what side you're on. If you will come out and condemn the story, after having looked at the facts on the Hoax website, then clearly you have nothing to hide. But there are people who just won't comment. And I've been blocked as a gentleman, well, not a gentleman, a person named Ian R. Crane. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Ian. He was a reporter on the Gulf, Deepwater Horizon blowout. And I was of a mind to trust him for a couple of years. And I bought the facts about this case to him, and he wouldn't comment and blocked me from his Facebook site, and that tells me everything I need to know about the internet.
That's what we bank on that one too, because that happens with a lot of the research we do. People are unwilling to look at it, and when they're unwilling to look at it, you know something's up. You know that something is seriously up. And I mean, anybody that is connected to Anthony Hilder, because we know what he's involved in, we already, that's a red flag right there.
You know, it's interesting also, you mentioned Ian Crane. Ian brought me in a couple of years ago to London to do a program. And I, like you, I had thought he was a good guy. And then all of a sudden, again, COINTELPRO started to attack me, faking and fraudulently claiming I was a Knight of Malta. And he was like one of the first advocates of that whole false information. And I kept emailing him and saying, Ian, what's the story? I mean, you know, how can you believe this kind of stuff? And man, it was like a hot potato. He just dropped me and wouldn't even discuss anything. And, you know, basically I thought that that's very odd for a truther, supposed truther, to not look at all the evidence after having me there at his forum, after knowing me personally, and just, you know, I just
heartbreaking.
It was very disturbing.
Yeah.
And anyway, I think, Sherry, before you take a break, maybe you and Steve can share a little bit with the audience what the situation is with child sex trafficking. What is it? What role and function does COINTELPRO play in obscuring the truth about the child sex trafficking networks?
Well, I can say that it's all about diversion. Even here in the U.S., the Franklin cover-up wasn't a diversion of what was really happening. Even if it's true, even if a boy gets kidnapped, or even if Holly Grieg was, you know, abused, it's not the bigger picture. And it's all meant for diversion. It's like Ted Gunderson, who was heading the FBI here, he would be the one that would come out and say, basically, oh, well, if you have a problem, if your kids are being harmed by Satanists or they're victims of child sex trafficking, I'm your man to go to. And people would go to him and they would say, I'm a victim. And he was the guy at the FBI that was the go-to guy for all of these crimes. Well, meanwhile, he wouldn't do anything. He was working for the bad guys. He was a double agent. And it was all a diversion to make you think that something was actually happening, you were getting some help. And in reality, you weren't any help, and you were being controlled because we're right in the hands of the bad guy. It reminds me of like those horror movies where you see, you know, somebody running away from the house where the zombies live or the bad guys live, and a cop pulls over and they get in the car with the cop because they think they can trust the cop, and all of a sudden the cop turns out to be one of them and turns around and takes them right back to that house.
Yeah. One of the things that I've learned from studying this case is that in my view, when COINTELPRO gets hold of child abuse, they introduce satanic ritual into the mix. And I, at the moment in the UK, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, you guys heard of Jimmy Savile? Does that mean anything to you?
I've heard of him before.
He was a very famous entertainer in the UK. And over the past couple of months, there have been a huge number of revelations about Jimmy Savile's abuse of young girls. And he was very close to the British royal family, very close to them. You know, he would be at their parties. He would, he had a cottage up in Scotland where Prince Charles attended parties held by Jimmy Savile. And so he was operating at the highest levels of society, and he was involved in the abuse of young girls. But he also, I mean, he was providing a lot of charity funding to children's hospitals and to psychiatric hospitals. And so on the back of providing all this money, he was able to get away with whatever he wanted to within these institutions. And his crimes include, well, certainly the allegations include necrophilia, which is pretty horrendous. But at the moment in the UK, the people have come forward, people have been abused, and this has led, you know, as one person comes forward, it leads to another person, and now there is a flood, and there are entertainment personalities in the UK being arrested, certainly being taken in for questioning. And they number in the 20s now. It's a large number of people in the entertainment, mainstream entertainment industry. And it looks like these people operate in rings. But the victims have come out with their stories, and there are no stories from the victims about satanic rituals. And yet, when a COINTELPRO person gets hold of a child sex abuse story, it seems to me they automatically introduce satanic ritual, and I think that is done to make it just less credible to the general public. So it just reduces the audience for this, for these stories, for this subject. And that I've seen, you know, Mr. Gunderson do that on one side of the Atlantic, and I'm seeing it done here. And I think it's very helpful because they have a playbook. And it's a central, you know, a centrally written playbook. It's operated in the UK and the US, and you know, doubtless it's operated elsewhere. And the more you understand about COINTELPRO, and the more you can expose every detail of how they go about things, the more difficult it is going to be for them to operate.
Yeah. I think you're right on there.
I think it's a fascinating thesis and very intelligent thesis that you're advancing, that we can corroborate on this end with looking at Michael Aquino, who makes himself look to be a totally easily discredited idiot.
Like Grandpa Munster.
Dressing up as a Temple of Set director who inherited the Church of Satan, worked with Ted Gunderson, who married Anton LaVey, who originated the Church of Satan's ex-wife, or his wife, Diane Rively, was married by FBI Division 5 chief in Los Angeles, Ted Gunderson, who worked with Michael Aquino.
Married too. She's
and
married
and in the media, yeah. And that Geraldo Rivera interviewed them. It's on YouTube. We've shown that before. And
they play Good Cop, Bad Cop on there.
It's a whole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've read about it. I haven't seen it, but I read your description.
We'll have to
like you're saying, it's a whole play on the fact that you have Aquino, who's actually a highest level official in the United States military in the National Security Agency, who's running the COINTELPRO mind control types of operations. And he dresses himself up to do what Anthony...
Like a vampire. He looks like a vampire.
To be easily discredited. And that's just like Anthony Hilder, who publishes all this rot. It's not even C-grade film. It's just even worse than that. And it just discredits everything. There's a standard COINTELPRO operation. I think we got to take a break and come back with you, Steve. Hold on.
We're going to take a break for a couple minutes, and then we're going to come right back. Okay?
Okay.
All right, so stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to the Harlequin Hour.
Is there proof of God's existence hidden in our government's records? Author Jose Collazo brings his years of research into this stunning question to light in God Does Exist, No More Nuclear Testing, and More. Touching on little-known government projects such as the Remote Viewers Program and Active Auroral Research Program, Collazo has uncovered some amazing discoveries through his research and use of the Freedom of Information Act. From uncovered information on the Ark of the Covenant to connections between natural disasters and nuclear testing, experience this revealing look into our government's obscure and hidden work. Discover how new and experimental technologies may change our world forever and uncover monumental proof and answers to mankind's greatest questions in God Does Exist, No More Nuclear Testing, and More.
Late Night in the Midlands is an alternative media that covers the truth, theory, and facts that the lamestream media won't talk about. We cover everything from the known and the unknown, the normal and the paranormal, the government lies and the government ties, and even their thrive. We tell what's coming, what's going, whether it be politics or archaeologists. We have an amazing fan base, and our shows are all archived to be heard millions of times more. So tell your friends, your family, and anybody you care about LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Become a member and be informed. Hello, this is Michael Vera for CureShop.com with products endorsed by Dr. Leonard Horowitz, including Liquid Dentist, a one-stop defense system for not only your mouth, but your whole body. This unprecedented product aggressively attacks the critters that cause oral diseases using concentrated microfine silver plus oxygen and minerals to help reverse tooth decay and gum diseases, helping repair your teeth and gums naturally. Then, by swallowing this amazing and good-tasting tooth and gum saver, you actually get a natural, nutritional immunization against more than 1,000 strains of oral bacteria and viruses when you swallow. Liquid Dentist is awesome for boosting natural immunity. Imagine your teeth feeling hygienic, clean, and super smooth for up to 3 days after each use. Swish with it 3 minutes or more after brushing and flossing. Gargle to freshen and protect your throat, and then swallow Liquid Dentist. Wow, what a great idea. It's all natural, healing, and protective. Dr. Horowitz developed Liquid Dentist based on emerging science from England showing a 20-second exposure to medical-grade ozone kills germs deep within decay, even down to the nerve. Then highly concentrated mineral mouth rinsing can remineralize your teeth and harden them even harder than they were originally. This way, teeth can be saved and not drilled away or lost due to decay or tooth fractures. Plus, Liquid Dentist kills periodontal germs and leaves your breath fresh and teeth feeling professionally clean for days. Go to liquiddentist.net to learn more, or go to cureshop.com. That's cureshop.com, CureShoppe.com, to order your supply of Liquid Dentist today, or call toll-free 1-888-621-7611. That's 1-888-621-7611. Again, 1-888-621-7611. Call now to save your smile.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Horror Kane Hour. I'm Sherry Kane.
And I'm Dr. Len Horowitz.
And we have a very special guest today. His name is Steve Budge, and he has this really awesome website. It's called thebigpicture.org.uk. Thanks again for joining us, Steve.
Well, thank you for having me on, Sherry.
Well, we were really in this heavy conversation about what really is happening with the diversion, the lies, and the way they discredit everything that's really serious out there. And like you said, they use they blend the satanic crimes. They actually say they're part of satanic crimes when they're talking about child sex trafficking. Also, a lot of times these COINTELPRO people will say it's not even humans, it's aliens that are abducting the children. So they'll use many different ways in order to discredit the seriousness of all the children that go missing every year and all of the horrible crimes that happen to these children. And it's just a really tragic situation. So thank God for people like you in the world that are out there exposing the truth.
Well, yeah, thank you very much, Sherry. If you don't mind, can we see if I can do a bit of online research here with Len and his experience on Wikipedia?
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that.
Because the reason I'm asking is that you can follow, you can take this Holly Gregg fake story, and if you look at the financing, it's run by a woman called Belinda McKenzie. Now, Belinda McKenzie is also central to the financing of Lloyd Pye's Star Child Skull Project. And Lloyd Pye claims to be having a war with Wikipedia. And it strikes me that maybe Len can clear that up for us. That if the guys that run Wikipedia don't want you, don't want the information on there, they don't have to have a war with you. They may operate in a different way entirely.
Yeah, there's no question. Wikipedia is a mouthpiece for the Central Intelligence Agency. There's no question in my mind. My personal experience has been that they're a fraud. They claim that they have volunteers who are the editors, and they have claimed that it's a free forum that anybody can go on there and make upgrades and clarifications. And well, the fact is that I can't do it at all. And what shows the fraud in both of those circumstances is when I have gone on to correct the misrepresentations and omissions, which is frank fraud. You see, in law, omissions and misrepresentations are part of fraud. And so when they published my biography on Wikipedia, and I thought, oh, wonderful, they have a biography of Dr. Len Horowitz up there. So I'll just go on and check it out. And I went on, and it was like horrible. I go, who's doing this? Why would they omit so much and be so biased against alternative medicine and my work in publishing in the scientific literature, all the publications that I've had in psychosociology, the AIDS? You know, I went to the FBI. I did the outstanding work exposing the Florida dental AIDS tragedy, the fellow who injected his patients with the AIDS virus back in the 1990s. I did all sorts of wonderful publications in the scientific literature, and I found that the Wikipedia site was just totally condemning and misrepresenting who I am. So I literally spent a day redoing the whole thing, and it wasn't up there for more than 10 minutes. Man, and they totally changed it back. Now, that means that somebody was watching my website, my Wikipedia posting, and it's a full-time job. So I go on there again, and I said, something must be wrong. Maybe I did something wrong myself. So I reposted it, redid it, spent another hour doing that. Another 10 minutes after I get it done, I get a notice that I'm not allowed to go in and change my own biography. That it's going any further involvement is going to cause me to be permanently suspended from Wikipedia. So I do, you know, I protest. I start writing letters back and forth, and you can't find anybody that's an official position to complain to. And so beyond that, then other websites that look like Wikipedia or are affiliated with Wikipedia start popping up, including Eric John Phelps, who did like you did. He went through all of the people who are supposed truthers out there, and he just loves them except for himself and intimate colleagues. Everybody else is an agent or working for the Vatican. And the only person that's reputable, according to Eric John Phelps, is Eric John Phelps and his psychophant, Craig Oxley. So basically, this is what I have found with Wikipedia. And yeah, we actually found, when we did the research, we actually found handwritten notes to the author of the Wikipedia-looking site that Eric John Phelps posted. And for those who don't know Eric John Phelps, what you have to do is think about how many people hate Jews. How many people think that Zionists are controlling the banks and the economy? How many people think that Israel should be nuked and bombed? This is all Eric John Phelps theology and the COINTELPRO KKK.
Christian identity.
Of philosophy, theology, and they have been spreading it very effectively. Don't forget, folks, the people that we're talking about, the organization within the Justice Department that actually operates under Central Intelligence, as Wikipedia does, this COINTELPRO infiltrated the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, and they didn't do away with the Ku Klux Klan. They had every opportunity to terminate that entire organization and literally change the whole understanding, educate people about racism and the manipulations of the populations, the false divisions that are created by the propaganda that creates terrorism and that creates this war economy. Well, they infiltrated the KKK and they took it over. And they are using the KKK and promoting their insiders, such as Unfelt, who outputs the world's leading theology on why we should hate Jews, why we should hate blacks, why blacks are inferior and Jews are simply spawns of Satan. And the Vatican is at the heart of the beast. The Vatican is made of Jews who are non-Hebrew Kaisers, who are spawns of Satan. Again, like you say, Steve, bring this whole satanic church, which is a creation again, ultimately, of the multinational corporations that wield their power by division and deception and in the media that they create to keep us controlled.
You know, I always say at the highest levels, we're all sitting down eating at the same table. The Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, all of them sitting down at the same table. And they're not looking at each other like having a race war. They're looking at us and figuring out how they can use us as pawns in their game, in their chess game, and how they can press us against each other. Because in reality, you know, people are either good or they're not good. It has nothing to do with a whole race of people or a whole nationality of people. It's just horrible. And, you know, there are people out there that deny the Holocaust, which is really sad. I had a grandmother, and Len had a mother who had to escape from there. I mean, his mother was at Nazi gunpoint with a gun to her head at 16 years old, having to scrub the streets of Nazi Germany because she was Jewish, and she had to run away. And my grandmother, her whole family was wiped out. She had nightmares ever since I could remember when I was a kid all the time about what they did to her family, how they came in and how they took everybody. It was horrible.
Yeah, so think about the power of that, folks. The COINTELPRO, through their disinformation agents that infiltrate organizations and the grassroots truth movement and the alternative press, they infiltrate and they start to output this crazy deceptions and manipulations that ultimately you actually history. And when you don't learn history and you don't recognize the history because of historic revisionism that they see, and media, especially Wikipedia, promotes these false, and again, missions, representations are fraud. So they're defrauding the public, and it's actually antitrust because it involves commercial, because they're making money militarily, particularly. It is an antitrust matter. They have really committed consumer fraud, and this is an issue in the United States. The law is the Sherman Antitrust Act, where you're not supposed to have monopolization. Well, just look at the monopolization that's taken place over the natural foods and the natural healing industry. It's all been monopolized by the same players that bring us the energy and the weapons destruction. All of it by the mass mind and the social ideology that formed by COINTELPRO and their propagandists. This is the most fundamental problem. It's the fact that we, the people, are so fooled by this psychological warfare, this propaganda, that we don't even know what to do, or we can. We drop out, we don't want to hear it more, and that's where they get us.
So Steve, are you still there?
Yeah, sorry, Len was breaking up just a little bit there, but I am still here. I can go ahead, so I can hear you fine.
No, we've talked enough.
Oh, you want? Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, I'd quite like to thank the guys at Wikipedia because it's been really helpful for me. What I've found is that they've got a very weak attempt to compartmentalize information on history a lot of the time. So that if you go and pick a subject, you may not find very much on the page you're reading, but Wikipedia will very helpfully link you to other pages. And once you've read 5 or 6 Wikipedia pages on related subjects, you can get a very good grasp of something close to the truth, unless it's something directly harming. So you'll see a lot of the references and articles I write are Wikipedia references. So thanks to the CIA guys, you're probably listening to this. And then another just one interesting thing is there's a guy called Andrew Sinclair who has done a lot of work on the history of the Templars and the Freemasons. And as Len says, the key to really understanding what is going on now is to look at how it developed. And if you want to understand the phenomenon, go and find out when it started and who started it. The easiest one there is flying saucers. Go find out who was making flying saucers in Germany and when they were doing it, and find out when the cover story about aliens was started up by the CIA after the Second World War. So you can use the fact, if you understand how Wikipedia is put together, then it can help you understand what's going on, and you can look for omissions as well. I know that on Andrew Sinclair's Wikipedia page, Andrew is was one of the founding fellows of one of the colleges at Cambridge University, and is a very well-respected academic in the UK. And if you go onto his Wikipedia site, you'll find a list of all the books he's ever written, except for the three that he wrote about the Knights Templar and the Freemasons, and they're just excluded and censored from Wikipedia. So there's your accurate history right there, folks. You know, look for what's use Wikipedia. You know,
yeah, it's an omission. That's a misrepresentation. That's fraud.
Yeah, but they're giving it to you on a plate. What you can use Wikipedia to find out what they're trying to hide from you, and that's a big hint at where the truth lies.
That's true. It's kind of like the opposite. Whatever they say, just think the opposite.
Yeah, or if you find some information and it's not on Wikipedia, you know, you may want to start asking questions.
Exactly. It's interesting. Yep. But it's so high up on the search engine that so many people look to Wikipedia. It's like a dictionary for some people. And that's really sad. You know, I just found that out. It's like lots of people will look at Wikipedia to look up somebody's bio.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, less and less. I mean, there isn't growing awareness, certainly here in the UK, that people in the UK are more aware that I think the matrix is not made as ironcast in the UK as it has been in the US. And certainly more as time goes by, more and more people are aware of an agenda, if not of the details.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So, like, out of all the people you have on the site, who do you think is the worst of them?
The worst COINTELPRO guy?
The one that's got, you know, the most power, that's just the kind of like the leader of the pack. Brian Garish, would you say? Or
I would say it looks to me like the person who's closest to the center of things in the UK is Belinda McKenzie.
Belinda McKenzie.
Yeah, if you go to the Holly Gregg Hoax site, there's a tab on there called Holly Demands Justice Business. It's probably the tab is probably HDJ Business, and Belinda is the one that's organised financing for that. You'll also find that she's been involved in financing of Iran aid, which was shut down. And also is suspected of funding a terrorist group within Iran. Belinda was also played host to two apparent MI5 defectors, Annie Machen and her partner, whose name escapes me at the moment. So she has links to MI5. She has links to funding an Iranian terrorist organization through a fraudulent charity. She's a member of the think tanks in the UK, and also a member of an institution which oversees, and a member of an institution that oversees charity in the UK. So Belinda looks very central to COINTELPRO UK.
She'd be interesting to research. I was just curious, you know, because it's just, and you see the bridge. I mean, Anthony Hilder and David certainly serve as the bridges, I believe. You know, the UK to the US is the British pro. But I mean, I believe he was recently probably put over there. He was over in the UK as much as recently after he was exposed. But we want to thank you so much for joining us. And we only have a few minutes left, but it was such a pleasure. And we'd love to have you come back again.
Yeah, that would be great. And thanks very much, guys, for all the work you've done and everything that you've put on the internet. It's great.
Well, thank you,
and
Steve.
And you too. Thank you.
We'll talk again. God bless.
And you. Thank you, guys.
Bye now.
Well, that's it for a Hurricane Hour today. I'm Dr. Len Horowitz with... So we're thankful to be here in paradise. We want to recommend that you go to healthyworldstore.com. .com/forward. That'll give you a partnership with Michael Vera and support this network. Thanks a lot. God bless. We'll talk with you again tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye.